Usher and Oliver to the Lord. It's also a special occasion and a joyous occasion for the grandmother as well, who is here to witness the dedication of the two grandsons. And we thank and praise God for Praveen and Stella, their love for the Lord and also love for the house of God. They are committed parents, and I have known them for many years. And not only that, they have a godly heritage. In fact, both the parents, parents of Praveen and Stella, they are very much in the work of the Lord way back in India. They are doing the work of the Lord there. And we thank and praise God for them. And that's why this morning they are here in obedience to God's word. In order to honor the Lord, they brought their two sons, Usher and Oliver, to dedicate to the Lord in the midst of his people. So Usher wasn't well yesterday, but thank God the Lord touched him and healed him. The family has asked me to share something this morning, from the word of God, before Brother Philip comes and dedicates their two sons. As I was contemplating, my thoughts went to one verse, a familiar verse in the Bible, and that's from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26. If you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26. Shall we read this verse together, please? 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 26. Shall we read this verse together? And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. May God bless the reading of his word and add his blessings for his name's sake. Wonderful words, beautiful words recorded by the Holy Spirit about a boy by name Samuel. If you can sum up the life and character of Samuel, it can be said in this one verse, which says, and the child Samuel grew in stature, in favor both with the Lord and men. Now the same words are spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. When God created man, when God created Adam and Eve, he said, he blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. But when you come to the last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, God has united man and woman not just to produce children, but to bring about a godly offspring, a godly generation. That is the desire of the Lord. Have you any time asked yourself, why am I here in this world? Who am I? Where am I? It speaks about our identity, speaks about our purpose in life and our destiny in life. The word of God very clearly says in Isaiah 43 and verse 7, whom I have called, I have created them for my glory. And we also see in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 that God has created us. All glory, honor and power belongs to thee. And then it is said, you have created everything and for thy pleasure they are created. The purpose of God in your life and my life as believers and Christians is to bring glory to God, to bring pleasure to God, to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And that is the testimony that we see here. We see here about the growth and development of Samuel. Someone rightly said, what a child becomes depends very much on its capacity of growth. There are three things that we see about Samuel in this one verse. And I would like to briefly share about these three aspects of Samuel's growth and development. The first one we see is Samuel was growing physically. It says Samuel grew in stature. When children are born in family, they bring joy and happiness to us. But that joy is short-lived when children do not grow. And we want our children to grow physically. We want our children to grow healthy. As long as we live in this world, God wants us to take care of our bodies. When children are born, they are born helpless. They are totally dependent on their parents. And it is the responsibility of the parents to give them a good diet, a healthy diet where they can grow healthy. They should be involved in exercise so that they can grow healthy. Now if you see 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll read one verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. See what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. Foots for the stomach and the stomach for foots. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. The body is for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And we also see in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? In verse 20 it says, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So as long as we live in this world, before we receive our resurrected bodies, our glorified bodies, we need to take care of these bodies. And I don't want to dwell much on this. And the second aspect of Samuel's growth was, Samuel was growing socially as well. Now it is said human beings have complex social patterns. It involves communication and relationship. It could be a non-verbal or a verbal communication. Now, social development involves responsibility. And that responsibility involves respect and love for others. And that's what we teach our children, how to conduct themselves in a society. That's why we give them good education. So that when they grow up to be good citizens. They know how to respect others, how to love others, how to help others, isn't it? And one of the commandments in the New Testament is, love thy neighbor as thyself. And the closest neighbor to the children is their parents. And they should teach, and the parents should teach the children how to respect their parents. If children learn how to respect their parents, they learn to respect others in the society. They learn how to respect teachers and elders. Isn't it? If you see in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, it says, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. And we need to teach those good works to our children, isn't it? And that's what we see in the life of Samuel as well. He was growing physically, and he was also growing socially as well in favor of man. But my focus today is on the third aspect of Samuel's growth. And that is, Samuel was growing spiritually as well. He was growing in the favor of God. The word favor means he was pleasing to God. He was growing pleasing to God. A likable person. That was the testimony of Samuel. Samuel grew in the favor of God. There is nothing great of a person growing physically and growing socially. But God wants that person to grow in another area as well. And that is to grow spiritually. To honor the Lord. To glorify God. And that is the testimony of Samuel. Very briefly this morning I'll be sharing four aspects of that spiritual growth in the life of Samuel. Firstly, Samuel was growing as a Nazarite. The word Nazarite means separated, sanctified. Now, if you see the scriptures, if you see 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, even before Samuel was born, This was the prayer of his godly mother Hannah. And do you know what she prayed? She prayed, "Lord, if you look upon my afflictions and give me a male child, and I'm going to dedicate him to you. Throughout all the days of his life, he will be yours. And not only that, no razor shall come upon his head." What is the language that Hannah was speaking? It was the language of a Nazarite. If you see in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, we have the law of Nazarite. A Nazarite has to be sanctified. He should be a separated person. He should not eat fresh grapes. He should not eat raisins. He should not touch a dead body. But the most important thing in the life of a Nazarite is he is holy to the Lord. He is separated unto the Lord. He is sanctified unto the Lord. And that is what Hannah has done. It's a very bold move from the side of Hannah to do that. It was not just this Nazarite vow, was not just for 1 year, 2 years, or few years. It was for the whole life of Samuel. Now if you see in Numbers chapter 30 and verse 8, the husband can overrule the vow of a wife. Even if Hannah has made that vow that his son Samuel is going to be a Nazarite, a person who is separated unto God, still her husband, according to the law, can overrule that vow, that commitment. But we know Elkanah did not do that. Why? Because he was a godly husband. He loved his wife. Both were not only devoted to God, but they were devoted to each other as well. They respected each other. They respected their commitments. And Elkanah has given full support to his wife Hannah as well. And it is when Samuel was born, he was born as a Nazarite, already dedicated unto God. Now remember, it was in that same period there was another Nazarite who was growing. Maybe he was about 5 years or 8 years older than Samuel. His name is Samson. He was also a Nazarite. But Samson, when he grew up, he did not have control over his life. And in the process, we know that he destroyed his ministry. He destroyed his reputation. He destroyed his life, his health. His eyes were gouged out. And not only that, he died a premature death. It was not the Philistines who killed him. It was he himself. Because of his lifestyle. Because he flirted with the world. And he destroyed his life. He did not live out his full days. But in contrary, if you see Samuel, who lived in that same era or in that same period, he lived a life of separation. Remember the time and the days in which Samuel was born. Those were the days of anarchy and apostasy. It was a time when people have substituted the law of God with what was right in their own eyes. The Bible clearly says everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It was the dark period in Israel history. Sin was abounding. Wickedness was rampant. Human desire was more valuable than human life itself. It was in that period Samuel was growing a life of separation. He was growing as a Nazarite. Now, the world that you and I are living today is no different from the world Samson and Samuel was living. Of course, they did not have automobiles, they did not have the latest computer technology that we have, but the sin was still the same. People were saying that human nature was sin, and we are living in this world. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, the age that you and I are living is an evil age. And as Christians and as believers, the Lord wants us and our children to live a life of separation. a life, a sanctified life. Because as long as we live in this world, we have to battle with sin. And it will be a continuous warfare in our lives. And we have to continue till the end, till we achieve victory. And that's why, as parents, we have to take our roles very seriously to bring up our children in the ways of the Lord, in a godly nurture. It is said about Spurgeon's mother. You know, Spurgeon tells her mother every Sunday evening she would stay home with the children and she would read and explain the scriptures to them. And she used to plead with them to think about the state of their souls and to seek the Lord. Spurgeon remembers one time her mother praying like this: "Now Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear witness, a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." And Spurgeon says, that thought of a mother bearing swift witness against me pierced my conscience and stirred my heart. We need, in this world that we are living, parents have to take their roles very seriously as to bring up their children in the ways of the Lord so that they can live a life of separation. Even though Hannah has dedicated her child, even before Samuel was born, she would have had many excuses. She did not give any date or any time that she would be dedicated, isn't it? She would have said, "Oh, my child is just 2 years old, 3 years old, or 4 years old. Let him live out his childhood days. Let him enjoy his childhood." She did not say that because she knew that at a very young age, a child can be trained. A child can be disciplined. A child can be instructed and taught. Samuel grew as a Nazarite. He lived a life of separation. Not only Samuel was growing as a Nazarite, but we also see he was growing in the house of God. If you see in verse chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, "Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. And we also see in chapter 2 and verse 11. "Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." And also verse 18, chapter 2. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child wearing a Levite ephod." Now when the weaning period was over for Samuel, when the nursing period was over for Samuel, Hannah and Elkanah, they brought their son as per their vow to the house of God and left him there. In the ancient days, the weaning period would have extended up to 4 years. But now in the modern days that you and I are living, it has declined very much. But in those days, it was about 3 to 4 years. So when Elkanah and Hannah brought their child to the house of God, do you know how old he was? It is said he would have been 3 to 4 years old. Have you seen that? Now imagine a parent coming and leaving a 3 or 4 year old child in the house of God, leaving him there. He's not going to stay there for 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days. Throughout his life, he needs to serve the Lord in that very place, in the absence of his home and his dear parents. This boy would have created a drama. He would have cried. He would have screamed and said, "Mommy, I don't want to stay here. I want to go home with you. It was not me who made this commitment. It was you who have made this commitment and said that I'm going to be a Nazarite." But we do not find all that drama there, isn't it? That boy was prepared, already prepared, to embrace his new role. He did not rebel, but he embraced the instructions. He embraced the upbringing that his parents have given him. It is said that all growth in human intelligence takes place by the age of 4 years. During these early years, habits are formed and basic rules of life are learned. It is said of Mrs. Wesley, the mother of John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And she says, the first step was to conquer the will of the child early. And that is the most important thing that a parent has to do. Conquer the will of the child early. Then the child is capable of being governed by the reason of its parents till its own understanding comes to maturity and the principles of religion have taken deep root in the heart and in the mind. And we see that's what Hannah has done. At a very young age, before the age of 4, before that weaning period was over, that godly values were instilled and embedded in the life of this young boy. And we see that he was growing in the house of God. And it is an encouragement for us as well. We need to encourage our children to come to the church every Sunday. Sunday is not a time for going for recreation. Sunday is not time for playing sports. As Christians, Sunday is a time where we need to honor God, where we need to give God the first place in our lives. Of course, we may not be keeping our children like Samuel, but at least one day in a week, we need to encourage them to come to the house of the Lord. Remember, Samuel, even though he was about 3 or 4 years old, the Bible says he ministered unto the Lord, and yet he did not know the Lord, isn't it? Whenever children are interested in spiritual things, do not discourage them. Encourage them to do something for the Lord. If they want to come to the house of God, when they sing songs, when they learn the memory verses, they might not have yet known the Lord, but don't worry about it. Because our job as parents is to minister to the children. And it is God who makes ministers. It is only God who changes the heart. So don't worry, don't force your children to say that prayer, sinner's prayer. Don't force them to accept Jesus Christ. But your job is to minister and teach them. Because a day will come when they give, voluntarily they give their heart to the Lord. Samuel was growing in the house of God. Now even in the house of God, Samuel had to face obstacles. He had to overcome many obstacles. The very sons of the high priest, Hophni and Phinehas, they were living a sinful life in the very house of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12 says like this. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They were sons of Belial. That means they were worthless or they were wicked. And it says, they did not know the Lord. It does not mean that they did not have the knowledge of God. What it means is, they disregarded God. They did not honor God. And yet they were officiating as priests in the house of God. And what they were doing, the Bible says, they were corrupt. In other words, they were depraved in their mind. And not only that, they despised the offering. The Bible says, they have abhorred the offering of God. The very burnt offering. The very peace offering which signified, which pictured their reconciliation. The very sacrifice which pictured the gospel of God. They have despised it. They did not respect it. They did not honor that. And not only that, the very house of God they have defiled. They were committing sexual immorality even in the very house of God. The place where they have to confess their sins, they were committing sins. And that was how a high priest's children were conducting. But on the contrary, in contrast, we see Samuel minister to the Lord, wearing a linen ephod, isn't it? Oh, linen ephod was a sleeveless garment where the priest used to wear and minister to the Lord and to the people. And that is what Samuel was doing. And I'm sure that these wicked sons of Eli wanted to influence Samuel in every way so that his mind can be corrupted. But Samuel did not give in. Why? Because this boy was already prepared. He was already rooted and grounded in the things of the Lord, in the word of God. And he looked at the sons of Eli and said, not me. I'm not going to do like that. I'm not going to behave like that. I know I'm a Nazarite. I'm a sanctified person. I'm a separated person. I'm not going to defile myself the way this Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were doing. And that was the testimony of David. He wore that linen ephod. Linen in the Bible speaks about holiness. It speaks about righteousness and purity. What a beautiful picture of innocence and purity before the Lord when Samuel ministered to the Lord. And Samuel grew as a Nazarite. Samuel was growing in the house of God. And thirdly, Samuel was growing in the presence of the Lord as well. Now if you see in verse 21, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, and the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Have you seen that? Samuel was growing in the presence of the Lord. Even in the midst of rebellion, in the very house of God, we see in these verses, the Lord's presence was felt. Why the Lord's presence was there in the tabernacle? Because the Ark of the Covenant was there, isn't it? Now if you see in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the Ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down. Have you seen that? Where was Samuel? He was close to the Ark of God. When God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle, to build the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord said, it is on that mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant I will meet with you. I will commune with you. That will be the meeting place between God and man. And Samuel knew that. It is there that God will meet with men and speak to them. And Samuel, we know, when he grew up, he was ministering to the Lord. He was communicating with God in that very place which the Lord has promised, that I will meet with you. I will commune with you. And we know that every year, as Samuel was ministering in the presence of the Lord, his dear mother Hannah visited him. And we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 19. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. This godly mother, she came to the house of God. Year after year, she brought that robe, that new robe, to her dear son Samuel. We do not know what was the talk between mother and the son, but I'm sure when she was leaving, she would have said, son, what you're doing is right before the God of heaven. God will honor you because you are a Nazarite, you are a separated person. Hannah could have had many reasons. She would have talked with Eli and said, my son will not stay here because the very house of God where my son is instructed and trained is being defiled. I don't want my son to be in that atmosphere. But she knew that he is safe in the hands of God. And that's why we see that beautiful prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 1 where Hannah worshipped the Lord, where Hannah prayed to God. She was a woman of prayer. She could move heavens. She can move the hand of God by her prayer. That's why she was so confident and so sure that her son will live for the Lord. That he will live as a Nazarite, separated unto God all throughout his life. She honored the profession of Samuel. Let me tell you, when children are interested in spiritual things, as parents, encourage them. Because a consistent testimony of the parents will have a powerful influence on the child's learning in the things of God. If parents are inconsistent, what I mean is, you don't read the Bible, you don't pray, you don't come as a family to have your family prayer, and you ask your children to do that, they will not be doing it. They will be confused. And we need to provide every opportunity as parents for our children to provide that godly atmosphere in the house. In order to do that, we need to remove things that are dishonorable to the Lord in our house, and bring in things that will honor God and glorify thy name, glorify his name, and children can feel the presence of the Lord. We need to come to the family altar every day, where we sing songs, where we read the word of God, where we come to pray, where we bring our sacrifices of praise. Isn't it? It is that atmosphere in the presence of the Lord. Remember, Samuel was doing all this even before he knew God. Even before our children know God personally, they learn to sing in the house of God, in the church. They learn memory verses. They learn to worship God. Today, this morning, we have seen how our children were worshiping God. They may not be knowing what they are worshiping, but don't worry about that. Even when Hannah brought her son to the house of God, the first thing that Samuel did was, he worshiped the Lord. Both mother and son, they worshiped the Lord. We do not know, he was just imitating his parents. But that is what they learn in the house of God. And I'm really thankful to Brother Johnson, Brother Matthew, and even Brother Praveen for the equal importance they have given to the children's ministry in the fellowship. How important our children are. All our teachers are dedicated. They spend so much time in prayer. Every Sunday they come prepared and teach the word of God to our children. They are not forcing them to be saved, but we know one day the word that is sown in their hearts will bear fruit, and one day they will give their lives to the Lord. Samuel was growing in the presence of the Lord. So as parents, we have to teach them diligently the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 to 9 says, "Thou shalt," that was the one of the commandments that God gave to the parents of Israelites. And he said, "Thou shalt teach them diligently when they sit, when they walk, when they stand, and bind the word of God as a sign on your hand, and write them on your doorposts of your house and also on your gates." These were the instructions that were given to the children of Israel. And not only that, not only teaching them diligently, but we should also live an exemplary life. As parents, we need to set an example before our children, honoring the Lord, giving preeminent place in our lives to God, to the things of God, and then also discipline them as well. And when you do that, when you play your part, God will do his part. Samuel was growing in the presence of the Lord. And finally, I close with this. Samuel was not only growing as a Nazarite, he was growing in the house of God, he was growing in the presence of God, and finally, he was growing with the Lord. If you see in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19, Samuel grew. And the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Have you seen that? Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Remember, when you come to chapter 3, Samuel is no longer a child. The Jewish historian Josephus says that Samuel would have been about 12 years of age. 12 or 13 years, that means he was a teenager. And that is the time. And the Bible again says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Have you seen that? He did not yet know the Lord, but he was still ministering to the Lord. But the Lord was raising a man for himself, a boy by name Samuel, who will be very close to the heart of God. And very soon the call of God is going to come upon Samuel's life. But until then, if you see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord was very rare in those days." Have you seen that? God was silent. God was not speaking to anyone. Why? Because the priesthood was corrupted. Because the judges were corrupted. People were substituting the God's law with what was right in their own sight. And God was not pleased with that. And there was no one where God could communicate his heart with the people, with any man. But thank God, there was one person who according to God's purpose and plan was growing. And his name was Samuel. And sure enough, the call has come to Samuel that day. Oh, as he was lying, as he was sleeping, he heard the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." But do you know what? Samuel did not discern the call of God. Why? Because he knew the word of God, but he could not discern the voice of God, because he has not yet known the Lord. The Bible doesn't say when he has known the Lord personally, but it could be at this time when he heard the call of God, that he must have given his life to the Lord. It was at that time God has entered into a personal and an intimate relationship with Samuel. And we see the first message, the voice that Samuel heard, it was a message of judgment. Have you seen that? A young boy of 13 years old. Oh, God broke that silence that was existing for many years. And he chose to speak to the one who was so close to heart. And he spoke, gave the message of judgment. And what was that message of judgment? If you see in verse 12, it says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them." Have you seen that? There's no person is talking about Eli. It was God himself. It was God himself who was telling that Eli did not restrain them. And that's why the judgment is going to come upon the house of Eli. And he goes on to say, Verse 14, and therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by the sacrifice or offering of prayers. Eli's family is going to be judged. Because they were stiff-necked. They were stubborn against God. These sons, they went too far beyond repentance, beyond ever returning to God. Their guilt would never be atoned by any sacrifice. That's what the word of God says. When a person comes to that point, no man can tell, only God can tell. It is only God can tell when a person's heart reaches this point. And that is the point that these two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they have reached that point beyond repentance and beyond returning to God. And God said, "Samuel, and I'm going to destroy this house." What a sobering thought. And I'm sure Samuel would have been terrified. That day he would not have slept in the night. Early morning he got up. As usual, he was obedient to his duties. He was doing his chores. He opened the tabernacle doors. He was doing all kinds of work. He was afraid to tell the truth to Eli, who was his mentor, who was the high priest, who was regarded. And Eli comes and tells Samuel, "I know the Lord has spoken to you. Don't hide anything from me. Please tell me what the Lord has told you." And Samuel was afraid, but he delivered the full counsel of God. He did not hide anything. He did not dilute the word of God. He did not try to convince or make Eli happy. But he delivered what he has received from the Lord. Today, what is missing from our pulpits is the message about the judgment of God, isn't it? Today, we are trying to convince people, make them happy. Do you know the gospel is about the judgment of God? It is either the judgment of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, which brings salvation to us, or we have to stand before the judgment of seat of Christ when we face him. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed to man once to die, and then judgment." Oh, Samuel was afraid, but he did not dilute the word of God. He received the counsel of God, and he delivered that exactly as he has received. He did not try to modify it. And what was the response of Eli. And it says, then Samuel told him everything, verse 18, and hid nothing from him. And what did Eli say? It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Eli did not have anything to say. He knew that he failed as a father and he failed as a high priest. He lived a carnal and a fleshly life. He was getting old. He was physically disabled. And very soon he will die. And he has to face God eternally. But the word of God says, Samuel grew with the Lord. And what a testimony it says. It says, none of his words fell to the ground. What does that mean? It is like water being wasted and falling on the ground. It is like an arrow that doesn't reach the target but misses the target. But not Samuel. Samuel grew up to be one of the greatest prophets in Israel. It is said about him in Psalms 99 and verse 6. You know, the psalmist equates him with Moses and Aaron, that he was a man of prayer. He was the one who has anointed kings. He was the one who has removed kings from the throne. Such was this great man of God. While the children of Eli were despising the offering, abhorring the offering, but Samuel made it sure when he became the priest, when he became the prophet, that this sacrifice should be honored. That's why he made sure that for every sacrifice that he was there, so that people honored that sacrifice, because it pictured their reconciliation. It pictured and signified the gospel of God. And Samuel, and the word of God says in verse 20, chapter 3, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. From the northern side to the southern side, oh, his name, his reputation has gone. And he was established as one of the greatest prophets of Israel. It's because of one godly woman who made a decision that she wanted to consecrate and dedicate her child before even he was born. And God has honored her prayers. A woman of faith. God has honored her faith. And we see Samuel was growing in the favor of God and also in the favor of man. And it is my prayer that all our parents should have that desire. May we be modeled after Hannah, this godly woman. A woman of faith and a woman of prayer. That we bring up our children in the ways of the Lord, that we bring, they may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. They may grow in favor of God and in the favor of man. And more so as we dedicate Asher and Oliver to the Lord. May the Lord bless this world. Thank you.